a few very important truths that I want to share with you tonight. And I'm speaking directly to you from Ace the Plot, but it's also true for every one of us. So I'm sure that we'll all be encouraged. I pray that we'll all be encouraged by that tonight. I want to let you know, there's one idea that you leave here with tonight. It's that your life counts. You are here to make a difference. When you are gone, you are meant to be missed. And life is short. We come and we're all going to go. Make no mistake. What do you want there to be written on your gravestone one day? I'm here to tell you that Jesus wants your life to count. Who here doubts that they were made by God? Is there anyone here? Okay, no one's going to put up their hand. Dumb way to ask the question. Sorry, my bad. In case you were doubting, you were made by God. And guess what? If you got a stamp on you, if we could all have had a stamp on our back, you know, God could have made it so easy for us to believe in Him. We could have all had this God engraved stamp on our back, said made by God. You know, like you get the proudly South African stamp on things. Could have had that stamp made by God. Then no one will question, you know, there is no God. And, you know, we all just a result of chance, random processes and evolution. And your great, great, great grandfather was a tadpole and all of that thing, you know. If we just had that stamp made by God, then those very clever scientists would have nothing to say, wouldn't they? I want to tell you, you were made by God. Who believes in this word? This is the Bible in Technicolor. Who believes in this? Uncle Anger says, it is written, I believe it, that settles it. For those of you visiting tonight, and hopefully you'll be back, in this church, you'll only hear what is said in this Bible. We'll just talk around this. We're not going to come and mix it with any of our own ideas. We're not going to take anything out of the Word. And we sure try and preach the whole Word of God. So, I'll go to the Bible. I'll tell you how I know that you were made by God. It says it in so many places. But I love Psalm 139, verse 13 to 14. You were formed. For you formed my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. The psalmist speaking about God. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You are special. You are unique. Even if you are identical twin, you're still unique. You're not thinking exactly what your twin is thinking 24/7. I mean, I take it that you have a few sort of deja vu moments or whatever the redeemed term is for that. But you are unique. You are special. You've been fearfully and wonderfully made by God. God took His time with each and every one of us. There's no two people on the planet who have the exact same fingerprints. Am I telling a lie? Is that right? That's right. Not in the Bible, but it's true. Because you are unique. You are unique. Okay? That's the point. You've been fearfully and wonderfully made. You're special. Then it goes on to say, wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. You know, when God made everything, what did He say after He made something? Anyone tell me? It is good. It is good. Does God make mistakes? Does God do things 50%? No. 95%? No. What does God get for His exams? 100%. Each one of us have been made perfect. We've been made in God's image, the Bible says. How much more perfect do you want than that? How much more perfect do you want than that? God doesn't make mistakes. If you hear and you feel that your life is broken, I want you to know that God didn't break it. But He can fix you. You better believe that. Does anyone believe that here? Yes. God can fix anything. You are made for God's family. We are all meant and made for relationship. No one is meant to go through life alone. We were made for relationships. We were made to be connected, first and foremost, to God. Secondly, to His family. Who's God's family? We are the church. We're connected to God. The church is also known as the body of Christ. A body and a head work best when they're connected, isn't it? Okay. You guys following me here? This is deep, people. We were made to be part of God's family. Romans 8:29. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. Brothers, meaning brothers and sisters, for the sisters in the house tonight. Okay? We meant to be part of God's family. Jesus paid the price for us so that we can be part of His family, so that we can be reckoned as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can be co-heirs with Him. So we're all family here because we've got the same Father in heaven. We've got different mothers, but we have the same Father. Okay? We're all family. God is a Father that makes us family. He has a family all over the world. He's got family. And I want you also to know that many of us struggle with this concept of God being a Father. And specifically, as the Bible teaches us, He's our loving Heavenly Father, perfect in all His ways, giving us every good and perfect gift. And we struggle with that. Why? Because our earthly fathers aren't perfect. None of us are. I'm a father, I'm not perfect. I know your father's not perfect. And sometimes as fathers, we hurt our children. Sometimes unintentionally, sometimes intentionally. Maybe you've been hurt by your father here on earth. And the difficult thing, what we sometimes do, is we imagine God is something like our earthly father. Because it's difficult for us to think about a father in any kind of a different way. But I want you to know that God loves you with a kind of love that no person on this planet can love you. It's a perfect love. It's an unconditional love. It means you don't have to perform or be good for God to love you. His love for you doesn't change, ever. That's what unconditional means. Now, sometimes our fathers here on earth, our parents, sometimes they'll say, you know, well, if we don't do well at school or something like that, then they maybe don't treat us as good as they would otherwise. Maybe they stay angry at us and maybe they hurt us or whatever. God is not like that. You don't have to perform for God. He's our loving Heavenly Father, perfect in all His ways, and He will never hurt us. Everything that He does for us, He does to bless us, to help us. He wants to fix us. And you know, when you go to the doctor sometimes and you've got a cut or a wound or a broken arm, and the doctor has to look at it, and you know, they've got to put plaster of Paris on. Anyone had plaster of Paris? Anyone broken an arm before? Some guys at the back there. Yeah, it's because you sit at the back, my bro. I'm joking. Just joking. I've broken both my arms and I've more than once. It's not fun. One time I broke, I can't show you now, my big muscles and everything, but I broke my humerus, this upper arm bone, which is pretty strong. I mean, you try and break, don't try and break it. It's very sore when it breaks, okay? It snapped in half. Okay, so I thought I had two elbows. I was like, how's it? Oh, no, that's me. Sorry. So the doctor's there, you know, and I'm just worried they're going to, like, ruin my rugby jersey and stuff. I'm like, just cut it off neatly and whatever. And so they like maneuvering my arm around and I'm like, hey, that hurts and so on. But they like, we have to take x-rays and all of that. So those doctors were just trying to help me. And a year later, my arm was all fixed up, ready to go again. Now, sometimes in that process, it feels like, hey, you know, what is God doing here? It doesn't feel that nice, you know, on the inside. I want you to know God is looking out for you. He's got your best interest at heart. He's trying to fix you. This is when you're relying on Him. This is when you come to Him with your problems. Sometimes in the beginning, it hurts a little because God has to kind of unwrap that wound and so on and clean it out a bit, and then he wants to fix it up the real way. Because sometimes we try and fix our problems ourselves, we try and forget about it, we try and blame other people for it. None of that is going to make it go away. Only God's way can make it go away. And sometimes that hurts a little bit initially, but when God has healed you, then it doesn't hurt anymore. So I've got a massive scar here, and I can press on it, but it doesn't hurt anymore. But I'm sure when they cut it open, if I was fiddling in there, it would hurt a lot. And some of us are walking around with open wounds because we're too scared to let anyone touch it. I want you to know, don't be scared of God. Don't be scared of God. He wants to heal you properly so it won't hurt anymore. You know that he gave us his own son. His own son, only begotten son, Jesus Christ, was hurt for us tremendously. Beaten, broken on the cross. So that he can be our healer ultimately. The healer of our soul. A physical healer. He was hurt so that we don't have to walk around hurt. God doesn't want anyone here to go through life hurt. Jesus paid the ultimate price so that we can have life abundantly. Abundantly. I've got a quick question for you guys. Don't want everyone to shout out at the same time. But you do need to shout. What do you want to be, maybe for the younger folk, what do you want to be when you're big? A what? A pilot. My brother, you already look like a pilot. That's awesome. You're halfway there. Okay. SAA. You come on. Anyone else? We got a pilot in the front. An astronomer. Hey, shoot for the stars, sister. Anyone else? A pilot. Yeah, you and Pietra can fly together. Awesome. Okay. Those big 747s, I think they need two people in case, you know, the one gets tired. Okay, anyone else? We got pilots and astronomers. A chef. Awesome. Okay, lekker course mark. So you can whip us something up. I've got a kitchen here. Okay, off to it. Lekker. Anyone else? A chef, a pilot. Another chef. Awesome. Ons gaan 'n lekker kos maak, mense. Family day, poekie kos. Uncle Ronnie needs a hand. Okay, at the back. An accountant. Okay. There's a protege for Oom Philip. There's an accountant. And another one. A graphic designer. Smart, are you dressing the part already? Nekis. Okay. Yes. A gynecologist. Wow, eh? You must talk to Oom Johan afterwards. He can point you in the right direction. Yes. A surgeon. This is the medical side, yeah. The medics are on the right. Okay, fantastic. Great. Now, all of those are really amazing professions. And I just want to encourage you guys, keep on going for it. You've got a plan. You've got a direction. That's great. Now, you do what you can to walk towards that goal. And you train yourself and equip yourself. And may God bless you in that. And you know that God can take that dream of yours and he can make it even bigger and better than what it is. He can take it and he can just add all that whoop whoop and whatever else. He can add to that and make it awesome. Not so that you can be famous, but so that he can be famous. He can take you and he can take you to the stars. He can make you the best at what you are doing. Not so that you can be famous, but so that he can be famous. It's about him. He's got big plans for your life. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. As it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. We can think it'll be great to be an accountant or a surgeon or a pilot or astronomer or a chef. All of these things are amazing and great. But let me tell you, you cannot even imagine. You see, because we can imagine those things, but you cannot even imagine how God can bless that and what he can do with that and where he can take you. You cannot imagine. God has such big plans for you. He's got amazing plans for you. And you know what? It's about the people that's going to be around you that He's going to put in your life. Because once you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this life is about introducing other people to Jesus. It's about sharing the love that you experience from God with other people. And we need Christians in the kitchens as chefs, in the boardrooms as accountants, in the airplanes as pilots. We need Christians everywhere because there's people that fly and eat and whatever that might never set foot in a church to hear the words of Jesus. And that's why God will put you there. But it's not just about the work that you'll be doing. Yes, you must do that work as though you're doing it for Jesus. You must work hard. But then you must be open and sensitive to if the Lord says, but go and give that person a hug. Go and tell that person that I love them. That person needs prayer. And you must listen to what the Lord is saying. And the Lord will use you in that place. Gone are the days when the pastors and the dominees have to do all the work. Okay, if anyone had that idea, it's never really been like that anyway. But don't think that way. This is the church, all of us. We together are God's answer for this world that is so broken out there. And even if you're sitting here tonight and you feel a bit broken, I want you to know that God can fix you. He can help you. He can make it all better. And then He'll send you out to go and share that love and tell people about this God that can help them, that loves them, and that wants them to serve Him wherever He will take you. Okay, so that's something to get excited about because now you're not just living for yourself anymore, but you're living for people everywhere and all around you. Now you become part of God's bigger plan. It's not just your plan anymore. Now you're part of God's plan. And guess what? There's no bigger plan than God's plan. Amen? Amen. God has created you to live a supernatural life with Him. Your life will make a difference. Your life counts. Not only for yourself, but for other people as well. That's what makes a life count. That's what will make people miss you when you're gone, is your life counts. God wants to reveal His specific plan to you. He wants to show you what His plans for you are. Jeremiah 29, you know the scriptures. God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and pray to me and I will hear you and you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. If you want to know what you're doing on earth, or even better, what you are meant to be doing while you're here, you must go to the one who made you. That makes sense, right? God knows why He made you. That's why He says, I know the plans that I have for you. So you want to spend some time with Him. You want to inquire of Him. You want to ask Him, what are those plans? And then you want to spend some time listening. Too many times, when we with God, we doing all the talking. Amen? We got to spend quiet time with God. Quiet time, silent time, listening time. It's very difficult to hear what someone is saying when you're speaking. Have you ever been in a conversation like that? Ladies? Eh? How do you ever understand each other? No, I'm just joking. Anyone here got a new electronic or digital gadget recently? Your wife is pointing at you, Petri. Own up. Okay. So, what do you do when you get a new toy or electronic thing and you don't know how it works? What do you do? Read the manual. How many people love reading manuals? No. How many people have ever read a manual? There's a few of us. Okay. How does anything work? No one reads the manual. Okay, so if you don't break it by pressing all the buttons simultaneously, eventually it might work or do something. You're like, I fixed it. Okay, now guess what? When your life is not working, where do you go? To church. That's a good answer. That's a good answer. Another answer. You go to the manual. When it's not working, you go to the manual. The Bible is my manual. What's your manual? Hold up your manual if you've got your manual here. That's it. We're a Bible church. Some of us. We're all a Bible church. Some people have their Bibles on their cell phones, so don't be put off that you saw so few Bibles. Okay. Right, they've got white berries and blackberries and strawberries, all sorts of berries. Okay, so they've got their Bible. You know what Bible stands for? Book of Instruction Before Leaving Earth. Okay, not really, but that's a cool thing. All right. Book of Instruction Before Leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E. All right, this is your manual. The Word of God, Psalm 119, verse 105, is a lamp to my feet. If you're in the dark, people, you need a light to see where you're going. Otherwise, you're going to get hurt. You're going to bump your head. Or you're going to stub your toe. That's not like anyone hit their big toe on something before. Eesh. Not nice. Okay. So you need that lamp for your feet. And it's a light to your path. You can see which direction you're going. Where am I? What am I aiming at? I want to be the best chef for Jesus. And I'm going to make the pastor some roast. Sorry, I just threw that in there. Taking a chance. So, how do we get there? You've got to spend some time in the Word of God. Okay, we've got to spend some time in the Word of God. We've got to have a relationship where we talk to God, where we listen to God, where we read about Him in the Word. You want to know, sometimes you're sitting with a Bible and it's a thick book. And the words are really small, especially if you've got a small one like this. And sometimes you look at, where do I start? It's also important. I've got too much to do. Where do I start? Have a plan for how you read your Bible. Because otherwise, half the time you're going to spend wondering where to read and you're going to waste time or you're not going to get around to reading. Start reading in the New Testament. Start with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, in the New Testament. That's like 3/4 through the Bible. That'll make you feel real good. It's like, yeah, I'm getting quite far. Okay? So you start there and you just start reading about Jesus. That is the central, most important part of the Word of God is Jesus. Everything points to Him. Everything is through Him and in Him and by Him and for Him. We start reading about Jesus. Something fun that I'm doing at the moment is I'm reading the words of Jesus, just the words of Jesus. If you've got a nice Bible that has the words of Jesus in red, I'm just reading the red words. I just want to know what Jesus is saying to me at the moment. And it's so powerful. When we just start, you know, adapt your approach to reading the Bible and you start seeing it in a fresh way, because you can read over the same verse in Scripture time and time again. And for you, sometimes it loses its meaning or its power because you kind of just breeze over because you already know what the second half of the verse says before you even read it. And now you're already just jumping to the next thing. You know, we are impatient people. God is patient. That's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit that lives in us is patience. When we start walking in the Spirit, we grow more patient. But we are so impatient. We want everything to happen now. We want the answer now. We want quick fixes. So we jump ahead. We're always jumping ahead. If you got this one game now, you play with it for half an hour, you already want the next game. You know? As soon as you've ordered your food at Steers or whatever, you're ready, the clock is ticking. You want it like right now. You know? It's not done in a minute, my money back. Or whatever. You know, we have grown so impatient. And we take the same approach with the Word of God. And we don't mix the Word with faith. We don't believe that it has power for us anymore. And guess what? Then it won't have power for you. Faith is the cement that we need to mix in it to make the house stand. Okay, we need faith. We need to believe what this says. Remember, Angus says, it is written, I believe it, that settles it. Now the word can work for me. If I don't mix this, this is not just a book. This is the living word of God that works in my life. The Bible says that it washes us on the inside. It renews our thinking. Let me tell you that we have all been brainwashed by society and by what's happening out there. Ultimately, the enemy uses various tactics to send us off in a direction in terms of our thinking. We've been brainwashed, and we need to re-brainwash ourselves with the Word of God. We need to wash our minds with the Word of God. Can I have it, Amy? Good. The next scripture, Romans 8, verse 19. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. Let me tell you that the whole world needs you to know why God put you here. The whole world is waiting for you to step into that supernatural life that God has for you. Because God ordered it in such a way. We know Jesus as we're sitting here now. There's a lot of people out there that don't know Him. It's a chain reaction. God saved us. We didn't save ourselves. He saved us, and now He wants us to touch other people's lives. If we don't, if we sit on the couch, if we couch potato believers, someone's not getting touched by God out there. Not quick enough anyway. It's a broken chain. Ever played broken telephone? The message doesn't get to the end? Like we're something like that. Okay, so the world out there, they don't know it, but they are waiting for you to step into God's purpose and plans for your life. They're waiting for you to start living your supernatural life, where you're trusting in the Holy Spirit to lead you every day, when you're listening to what God is saying to you, where you are willing to go if He says go, where you're willing to talk with someone if He says talk to that person, where you're willing to go up to a stranger and say, Jesus loves you, He died for you. And that takes guts today, because today more than ever, people are isolated and they live on their own little planet. And the height of success is to have a big house with really high walls and never need to talk to your neighbor. And we can Facebook and Twitter and Google, and there's good stuff about it, but there's also bad stuff. In the one end, you can find people all over the place. And some people have a competition, how many Facebook buddies can I have? And let me tell you, you're never going to read all their posts. You're going to put a post there and they're never going to read your post. And so, yes, I've got lots of friends, 2,000 friends, but do I really know what's going on in their life? Is what they're putting down there the honest truth? How will I really know if that person's hurting inside, if there's something I can pray for them for? Actually, we're getting more and more separated and more isolated. And it's the enemy's tactic, because at the same time, he's preventing us from fulfilling our God-given purpose, which is to love other people. And you can't serve God and be in His perfect will for your life if you all locked up in your own house or out there doing your own thing. No. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Go. Put Facebook off for a minute. Go. Okay. Anyone following me? How I see it, you can pause on that for a second. Anyone know Batman? Anyone know Batman? Okay. Now you know when Gotham City needs Batman, someone switches on a light and it shines in the sky, this big bat signal in the sky. Anyone seen? You know what I'm talking about. Okay. Batman and Robin? Cool. Okay. We all like Batman. Now, what's your name at the back there? The chef. Not the chef, the pilot. Sorry. Tony. Tony the pilot. Tony, imagine a sign that shines in the sky and says, Tony. And that's true for all of us. That's what's happening out there. You can imagine when you step out here tonight and it's dark on your way home. Just imagine a light suddenly shining in the sky with your name there. Tony. Okay. Or Sheila. Whatever your name is. Okay. Shining in the sky. The world is waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. The world is waiting for you to start walking in the supernatural. To start operating in God's power. And you see, Batman's got all these tricks and nice fancy suit and the Batmobile. Now, everyone loves that. My brother-in-law calls his car the Batmobile. Okay? And he's like 26 years old. Everyone loves it. Okay? I'm not fighting with him. It looks like the Batmobile. All right? So, we all admire those kind of things, but what you've got is better. You got better than a bat suit and some gadgets. Okay? You've got the armor of God. It was testified about earlier tonight. The armor of God you can put on every day. That beats the bat suit any day of the week. The armor of God. You are invincible when you have the armor of God on you. You are invincible when you're walking in that. We'll have to talk a bit about that some other time. So, I'm talking about the supernatural. I'm talking about you stepping into God's purposes for your life. You going from your ordinary life, life not always lekker, Monday suck, this and this, to, yeah, life is awesome. I can't wait to get up and tell some people about Jesus. Okay? That is what we're talking about. From year to year. What does a supernatural life look like? You don't have to look much further than Jesus. Luke 4. This kind of just sums up what he came to do. And if you read through the rest of the Gospels, you'll see he did that and then some. But he tells the people there in the synagogue, this religious acting and rituals and ceremonies and looking all perfect and religious before the other people, trying to be more self-righteous, trying to, you know, act all higher or more special than other people. The time for this is over. We don't do this anymore. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That was a prophecy from Isaiah about Jesus who was to come hundreds of years earlier. And Jesus said, then today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. He said, I'm here. I'm the one who has prophesied about. And then Jesus started doing that. From the word go, he started performing miracles by the power of God. That's what a supernatural life looks like. It's the impossible. It is a life where heaven touches earth through you. Where you allow the power of God to operate through you. That's a supernatural life. That's what God wants for each of us. There's not just a few Christians that are meant to be praying for people and them getting healed or raised from the dead. Not just a few, every one of us. Every one of us. All the miracles that Jesus did was for the benefit of other people. It's not for you. Not for you to be famous, the man of the hour of power. No, it's for God to be made famous. It's for him, for his glory. That's why we are here. We are part of his bigger plan. And that's exciting. God has a big plan for you, and it's to be part of his plan. Now, you need to understand that for many people that you know, even now, but more so the people that you're still going to meet in your life, you're going to meet many people that for them, you are the only Christian that they know. That happens. And you're never going to know it unless you ever ask them. It's not the kind of a question that you ask them. You're just going to know. And so guess what? You are God's first choice, His main plan to share His love with them. You are going to meet people in your life that the rest of us will never meet. And you are God's first choice. You are His main plan to reach those people and to share the love of God with them. That's part of your supernatural life that's waiting for you. But you better believe that we're going to have to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit when we speak to these people. We're going to have to be bold. We're going to have to believe what we are saying. We're going to have to act with conviction. If you're having doubts here tonight about God and whether He's real, whether He loves you, I'll pray for you later. Because yes, He is real. I can't even put something here in front of you that proves that He's real. I can just stand here myself. Because I was an alcoholic in England and a womanizer and all of these nasty things. Swearing like a trooper. Not a very nice person. Very few people liked me. And I had very different plans for my life until God touched me. And my life turned around. He brought me back to South Africa, restored relationship with my family and everything. I'm a different person completely now from what I was 10 years ago. That's the only evidence that I have. So you must go and ask my parents, is Tien's different now from what he was? They'll be able to say, yes, he's different. Could he have changed himself like that? No. I tried to quit drinking, just as an example. Didn't work. A touch from God, and I could pour that stuff out in the sink. Never go back. That's the power of God at work in our lives. His power to break addictions. If you're here and you've experimented with drugs and stuff, and maybe it's a difficult decision that you're faced with every time, the power of God can save you from that because drugs will destroy you. Drugs is from the enemy. It's from the pit of hell. Drugs destroys families. Drugs is destroying this nation. If you're in a bad relationship with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and it's just a wrong relationship. It's going in the wrong way. And you don't know how to get out. You trust God. You ask Him, and He will show you. The bad relationship destroys lives. The Lord can change you. Now, the amazing thing, we saw the things that Jesus did. You know, I'm not going to go into all the miracles that Jesus performed. Turned water into wine, walked on the water, stopped the storms, healed the sick, raised the dead. Jesus did some serious miracles. Look at John 14. Truly, truly, I say to you, some people say where there's a repetition, you must really take notes. Truly, truly. Other people say that's the way that the Greeks wrote it. And when they say when there's a repetition, it means it's very loud. It's louder. So it's something like, truly, I say to you, now everyone's listening, you see. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do, because I'm going to the Father. And later he would reveal to us because we will receive his Spirit, by which we can do these great things to glorify his name. So he's saying, even greater things than what he did, we will do. I mean, we can read the Bible and we're like, no ways. You know, if I can do half of the stuff that Jesus did, you know, then I'll settle for that. With Jesus, nothing is impossible. You come into a situation and you know that, man, it's impossible. This person's going to die, or this is going to happen, or I'm never going to make it. It's impossible. You know, and there's no time left. This is not even, if you think it's impossible, that just creates the environment for a miracle. If you want to see a miracle happen, you need to be in an impossible situation. Isn't that right? So I want to challenge you. We need to step up our trust in God and our faith. We need to believe in the Word of God. And so when we're in that situation, let me tell you, Nothing's impossible for Jesus. You call on the name of Jesus and you speak into that situation. Even if you don't see something there, you speak it as though it's there. Call the things that are not as though they are. These miracles are happening in churches today. I'm going to be so excited when God does something like that. But, you know, we've got to have faith over here. People that don't have hands and then a hand grows there. I mean, hello. You know, it's like, didn't really see Jesus do that. But, hey, nothing's impossible for Jesus. And he said, greater things than these will do. And it's not because we're so great. He's still doing it through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's doing it. He's just looking for people who will believe. Believe that you've been called to a supernatural life. Believe that you've been called to extraordinary life. Believe that you've been called to something bigger than yourself. We've been called to something bigger than table view, but it starts here. Amen? As I said, we will perform it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will receive power. Everyone here knows the Greek word that was written there was dunamis, where we get the English word dynamite. Explosive power. You want to break some stuff, but not in a bad way. Okay. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. If you don't believe me, that I, when I say believers can do more than what Jesus even did, if you don't believe me that we were called to a supernatural life, just why don't you take some time in the next while maybe and read through the book of Acts. Read through the book of Acts. Let that build your faith. It's always such an amazing faith builder. Because you see how the believers, after Jesus ascended, and they received the Holy Spirit that He promised them, how they went out and performed miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can just look at those apostles. Acts 4 verse 13. Peter and John, they were preaching at the authorities and the high priests and so on. You know, people that had all the big seats as far as religion goes. And they even said afterwards they saw their boldness and they perceived that they were uneducated, common men. They were then astonished and they recognized that those men had been with Jesus. You know, God uses ordinary people like me, like you, ordinary people to do extraordinary things. You don't have to think, well, you know, I'm not so gifted or, you know, I'm never first in class. Why would God pick me to do a, you know, to go and pray for someone that they may get healed or whatever. No. God uses very ordinary people to do amazing, extraordinary things. And that's the story of, for instance, Angus Buchan. Many of you, some of you might know him. He was a farmer. And now he's traveling all over the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And people are getting healed. And people are coming to know Jesus through the words that he's speaking. And he's just an ordinary farmer. You might have seen the movie Faith Like Potatoes. An ordinary man like you and me. And he can do extraordinary things by the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 4 verse 29 to 31. Almost finished. The believers were gathering and they were about to send a few of them out to go and preach the gospel. And they were praying to the Lord and said, now, Lord, look upon their threats. Because, I mean, their lives were in danger. People were persecuting them. People were killing the believers. You know, we still have freedom in this country. We must use it. Look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. While you stretch out your hand to heal, signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. The place was shaken by the power of the Holy Spirit. You think Was it shaken because they were singing, "My Redeemer Lives"? Maybe. No, the power of the Holy Spirit came there. You see, God is not just, He's not just this idea that people are worshiping. God is very real. And when He touches your life and when He turns your life upside down, it's like a bull in a china shop. You will see the effects around you. Okay? Stuff is going to happen. Buildings are going to shake. Sick people are going to be made well. Unbelievers are going to start believing. Things start happening when you invite God into your life. And when you start trusting Him for the supernatural. But our hearts must be in the right place. It's about Him. It's not about us. But He has called you to a supernatural life. Your life counts. Anyone here afraid of speaking in public? Anyone here afraid of talking to a group of people? No, there's quite a few people, eh? There's quite a lot of us. I was like that. I was very much like that. I would literally hide away when we have to do orals and Mundelinge in school. I would hide away. I would pray. Well, I didn't know God. I would pray that the teacher would forget about me. And just somehow, when they're marking, just give me the mark of the person who went before me or something. I'll take anything, you know. I just wouldn't do it. And then, so I'd often then be the last person because I'm always ducking and diving and they just like looking. So then I'd be the last. That makes it even worse. The last person. And I go up and then, you know, I'm standing behind the desk. It's a desk with the flaps, the wooden desk, you know. And the whole desk is shaking, the flaps, you know, and I'm like, hee. Yo, I never got really good marks for orals. Not surprised. But when the Lord calls you, even if you think, but that's impossible, I can't do that, Lord. You know, didn't Moses think the same way? And he ran away. He had to have a burning bush experience to take him back to where God wanted him to be. And we are the same, but when God calls us, we don't have to worry if it's impossible for us. That's great. Because His strength is made perfect in our weakness. So if it don't stop, if God asks you to do something and you think, but that's impossible, I'm not the right person, Lord. Maybe you should take Sam because he's much better at it than what I am. No, if God asks you, then better believe that He wants to show Himself powerful through you. And He will do it. He will do it. And you'll be astounded. So I'm just standing here by the grace of God. I'm relying on the Holy Spirit. So maybe I'm not like necessarily jumping up and down like some other pastors or preachers or whatever. But for me, this is like, this is the supernatural. This is hectic. I mean, I'm operating in the Spirit now, my friends. You know? I'm quaking, you just can't see it. Because God has just given me peace. I pray before every time that I have to speak to anyone or anything, I'm like, God, take over. I don't want to be getting in the way here. I need you, Lord. I need you. I'm just, use me. If you can, use me, use me. That's it. And God is so faithful. I can tell you every time God is faithful. It's amazing. God's got a plan. The one night I was going to preach in Tigerberg, it was a long time ago, and it was like, I just wasn't ready. I'm like, okay, Lord, this obviously, and it was, my message was, it's going to be about humility, you know, and I really thought, okay, but the Lord's going to use this as a practical in my life, and I'm going to be, well, I thought I was going to be humiliated. I was going to be humbled in front of all these people because it's almost like I hit a blank, you know, and I didn't quite know what am I really meant to be saying? Where must the message go to or whatever? And I stood there and we're worshiping and it's like, it's literally, you know, it's sort of like the last song before I have to go and preach. And I was like, okay, Lord, you know, this, thank you, Lord. I'm going to be humbled. And it's like, really, this is really tough for me. You know, I'm going to probably start crying or something. You know, faced with like 250 people, and it's like I'm just not really going to have much to say. You know, and they're expecting the sermon and whatever, but okay, yeah, here I go. And literally, just before I was like getting up, getting the few notes that I had, you know, scraping all my courage together to go forward, then Pastor William sort of grabbed my arm and he said, no, he feels that he must preach today. And I'm like, ah, oh, praise God. You know, it was like the Abraham Isaac moment when Abraham, just in faith, he was going to offer up his own son Isaac. And then the Lord stopped him and said, no, there's a ram in the thicket. I'll provide the sacrifice. And yeah, so it's just a place of trusting in the Lord. And even if something seems impossible for you, just go for it. The Lord will make it happen. And trust me, if I had to go up there and speak that night, the Lord would have come through. But the Lord had another plan. And he made it all work together. It's amazing. The Lord doesn't want to embarrass any of us. And if he asks you to do something, trust me, you will be able to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's so awesome. Acts 5, this is the last scripture, verse 12 to 16. I'm just sharing a little bit. We're just looking at some of the apostles' examples early there in Acts. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. And they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. They were seeing such awe-inspiring, faith-blowing miracles that they believed that even, you know, there's so many people flocked to where the disciples were because people were just getting healed, that they brought the sick out into the roads and they thought, well, even if Peter walks by and his shadow falls on them, they're going to get healed. That was how powerful God was moving through the disciples. That wasn't just meant for that time. We're not seeing it today. Sick people aren't coming out of Netcare on Sunday evenings and knocking on the church's doors. You know, we need prayer. We need healing. It's not happening. But it's meant to be happening. This wasn't just meant for the early church. It was meant for now as well. Maybe more than ever, we need it now. There are millions of sick people all over the world. Millions of lost and dying people that need a touch from God. The people also gathered from towns around Jerusalem, verse 16, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Can anyone say that? They were all healed. Do you believe that? It says it, they were all healed. No one went home still with a cough. You know, it worked for the guy next to me, but not for me. No. When God pitches up, when he touches a life changes. You cannot stay the same if Jesus comes into your life. That is your test tonight. For each one here. If you know Jesus, then your life has changed. If your life has never changed, then maybe you don't know Jesus tonight. That's tough. That's the reality. Good news, you can leave here tonight knowing Jesus. It's as simple as making a decision. It's a choice that you have to make. God doesn't force people to worship him. He's a gentleman. He will only come into your life by invitation. But you better believe he's knocking on the door of your heart. He wants to come in, but he's not going to break the door down. And sometimes We think we know Jesus, but it's a different Jesus. We've made Jesus up to who we think he should be. You know, we've got to come to the real Jesus, the one that we read about here. We've got to know who he is. You cannot love someone who you don't know. We've got to find out who Jesus is. The best way to find out who he is if you're in relationship with him. And there's a starting point for that. Like when you meet a new friend, when you click add on Facebook, okay? Maybe you guys have some chats and whatever. You get to know each other. You ask each other questions. What's your name? How old are you? Where do you come from? What are you studying? Okay. You ask some questions. You get to know each other. Some of us need to ask Jesus some questions because we don't know him in certain ways. The Bible says that he's my healer, he's my provider, he's my security, he's my deliverer, he's the truth in my life, he's my rock, he's my shepherd, he's the door, he's the Prince of Peace, he's the beginning and the end, he's the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, he's all of these things. But we don't know him, we don't understand what that means. What does it mean? He's my Savior, he died on a cross for me. Do I know why I died? Do I believe he died for me? The Bible says that on the cross, he had my sin upon him. My sin was transferred. Everything that is bad about me, everything that separated me from God was transferred onto Jesus. How is that possible? That was like over 2,000 years ago. No, well, the Bible says it. And so Jesus became our scapegoat and he was punished. All of God's anger towards sin and disobedience was put onto Jesus. All of that anger, all of that punishment. And Jesus was crushed on the cross. So once and for all time, sin was destroyed and defeated. And then God raised him from the dead. And he's now sitting with God at his right hand. But you see, the penalty for our sin, the punishment, has been paid. So we don't have to feel guilty anymore. But we can only be saved if we believe that. And if we invite Jesus to be our Lord, our Master, and if we follow him in this life, that is the invitation. That is the cost of the invitation, is following him. It means sometimes you're going to have to say no because you know Jesus asks you to say no. Someone offers you some drugs. Someone wants you to sleep with him, and you know God doesn't want that, and you have to say no. And it seems like that's going to be impossible because in the moment, it seems like it could be the right thing to do. But you know, Jesus says no. The Bible says no. The Holy Spirit is reminding you inside, you know this is wrong. Because when you gave your life to Jesus, he made your conscience alive, and you know it's wrong. I want to tell you that don't worry now about what you're going to say. The Lord will give you the strength in the moment to say no. Because God will never let you be tempted beyond what you are able to resist. So you can say no. But you need to be aware of that. It's about every day choosing to follow Jesus. Choosing to believe in him. Choosing to trust him for the impossible. Believing in the Word of God. Getting to know him more and more each day. And you know you can trust him. He loves you. There's no one on this earth that you can compare him to. He loves you. He really loves you. Has anyone else died for you? Has there ever been another stranger who died for you? Someone you didn't even know? But Jesus died for you before you even knew him. He died for you. His blood was shed. If there's one scripture you can remember when you go home tonight, that maybe you can read again and again, it's John chapter 3, verse 16. You know it. It says, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You see, because our sin, the wrong things that we do, and we all do wrong things. Okay, no one's perfect. The wrong things that we do separates us from God, because God is holy and perfect, but our sin separates from him. Sin always has consequences. And you're going to live with those consequences, which means you're forever going to be away from God unless you believe in Jesus. Unless you believe and receive it as a gift that he paid the price for you. You see, a gift isn't going to be a gift to you unless you receive it. It can be great if someone's got a present for you, but unless you've received that present and taken it, it's not going to help you. You're not going to enjoy it. And so Jesus is holding a gift in front of each one of us here tonight. And that gift is eternal life. That's a gift that none of us deserve. We deserve to be separated from a holy God because we are not holy. But yes, God wants us with him. So he did what we could never do. He gave his Son for us, who paid the price for us, so that God can overlook our sin. Our sin is washed by the blood of Jesus. It's removed from us as far as the east is from the west. So when God looks at you, he looks at you through Jesus. And he says, yes, you can come to me. But that's only if we believe. That's the starting place. If you believe in your heart, then if you confess it with your mouth. That's why we will pray together. We're going to pray together now. And if you realize that you are at that place, you're at that starting point, where you need to make a new start with Jesus, and things in your life need to change, well, guess what? Then we can do that tonight. And we can all leave here, part of God's family. Because I want you to know, I'm excited about you, but Jesus is more excited about you. And he was excited about you over 2,000 years ago. He thought of you when he went to the cross, and he paid the price for you. So if you will let him, he wants you to belong to him. He wants you to always be in his arms. He wants you to know the love that he has for you. And that relationship starts with believing in your heart. And we can say a simple prayer so that you also confess it with your mouth. Because it's not a secret thing between you and Jesus that no one's ever going to know about. No. Remember, the supernatural life that we live is so that we can touch other people's lives. That kind of means you're going to have to tell them at some point that Jesus loves them. Okay, which means that you know that he loves you also. So it's not a secret thing. So we pray together. And we're here in a church. And everyone knows this is a church. And the people around us, they're in pubs. You know, they're doing other things. And many of them still need to find Jesus. And we pray for them also. And when the Lord leads us, we speak to them also. And God is awesome. And you're going to hear many more testimonies in this church of how people's lives are changing. And that's exciting. But first, your life is going to change. So the wrong stuff that we do, sometimes we continue doing it a little bit. After you know Jesus, some things are difficult to stop doing. But as you trust God and you ask him to help you, he will help you stop doing those things because he wants you to stop. Because that stuff will affect you badly. Remember, when you die, you're going to go and be with him, and that's the biggest gift. But he wants you in this life, on this earth, to live free. Free from the stuff that is hurting you. Free from sin and addictions and bad stuff. The Lord wants to help you. And that's part of what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit helps us. Gives us power to say no. Gives us the strength to do the right thing. Gives us the boldness to go out and help other people. The Holy Spirit helps you to live a supernatural life. Okay. Does anyone here believe their life counts? Your life counts. Let me tell you that. If you don't believe it, now you know it. Okay? If someone tells you otherwise, you tell them, Kung Fu Pastor said my life counts. You go talk to him if you have a problem. Okay? Right. Not really Kung Fu. Okay? More like armor of God. That's what we're talking about here. Okay? The sword of the Spirit, the Bible. The Bible tells us so. I love it. My son, he's 2 years old. He's very cute. You'll see him. He's starring at the back there in a room right now. Okay? He is so cute. He sings. He just has these outbursts. You know, Jesus loves me, this I know. He just starts singing. He's awesome. Love it. Okay? That's what a two-year-old can say that. And I bet you in his spirit he believes it. And we can do the same. Our lives can start functioning like God intended. Can we stand together tonight, please? Let's pray together. Father God, we just want to thank you for this awesome time spent together, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for new friends. Thank you, Lord, that, Lord, your family is growing all over the place. Thank you, Lord, many of the people here, Lord, and visitors, Lord God, thank you that they know you. Thank you that they know you as their Savior. Thank you that they know you as their Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the good news. Thank you for the good news that we could share tonight. And really is, Lord, that we were made by you and we were made for you. You have a plan for our lives. Each one of us are special. Special enough that you died for us at the cross. I want to thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for your love. A love that is so big, we can't even fully understand it. A love that your Bible says we will never be separated from. There's nowhere where we can go on this earth where you cannot reach us. Thank you, Lord. Lord, some of us here tonight, Lord, we might have heard this before, but we've never really come to that place where we accept that free gift. Maybe we've struggled with doubts and confusion or fears. But Lord, right now as we're standing here, we feel we are ready. We feel we are ready to accept that free gift. We feel we are ready to invite you to save us, to be our Lord, to save us from our sin, to save us from being lost and alone, to save us from being broken and hurt. Because we know that all of us need you. We all need you, Lord. Some of us, we served you at one point. And then maybe it became about us and maybe our own plans took over. And we actually forgot about you. But tonight we remember, tonight we know that you've called us once before. And we walked away, but tonight we realize we must come back. Like the lost son, we must come back. You're calling us into your house. You want to save us once more. You want to show us and remind us again of the purpose that you created us for. And so, Lord, we want to thank you. This is a sacred moment. This is a holy moment. This is a moment where lives hang in the balance. This is a moment on which eternity hinges for many of us here. Now, I'm not going to embarrass anyone, but I seriously want you to do business with God before you go home. And so I don't want anyone to look around. This is a moment that's just between you and the Lord now. It's a serious thing. Eyes closed. I want you to raise a hand as a sign to God if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior here and now. You raise your hand. Raise it very high. Thank you for the hands. Thank you for the hands. I want us to pray together. And we can all pray together. One of the most beautiful prayers that we can pray is a prayer where we decide to make Jesus our Savior. And some of us have done it before, but we're going to do it in support of people that might be doing it for the first time tonight. There's a lot of hands that went up. So it's simple. You've got to believe it in your heart. That's between you and God. But then we also confess it with our mouth. We pray it out loud. That's the Bible teaches us that in Romans chapter 10. And that's a starting point. And so we're going to pray together now, and I'm just going to pray a prayer where you do just that, where you receive Jesus as your Savior. And just to make it easy, then you can pray after me. You can repeat it after me. And if you've believed what you're saying, if you believe it in your heart, then you will be saved. Not by me or anyone else here, by Jesus. Okay, so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this moment. Thank you, Lord, that you knew me before time began. You even knew that I would be here tonight. Thank you for revealing your truth to me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for preparing my heart. Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you paid the price for my sin. That you died on the cross. And you rose again. Thank you, Jesus. I receive the free gift now of salvation. Thank you for saving me, Jesus. Thank you for forgiveness of my sin. Thank you that I don't have to doubt anymore. From this moment, I'm your child. Thank you that I don't need to feel guilty anymore. Thank you that you help me to get better. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to fear anything. From this moment, even death, I will not fear. Thank you that you're always with me, Lord. Thank you that I can always call on you. Help me to know you more. Help me to obey you. Fill me with your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that your love for me never changes. Thank you that I can be part of your family. Thank you that I can be part of a church where people care and love for me. Lord, if it's this church, please show it to me. I want to be where you are, Lord, in your perfect will for my life. Thank you that I can hear your voice, that I can follow your commands. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Can we raise a shout to Jesus? Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God.